Scripture today is from the book of Matthew. When you do good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get a reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to the poor, don't blow a loud horn. That's what show-offs do in the synagogues and on the street corners, because they are always looking for praise. I can assure you that is the only reward they will receive. When you give to the poor, don't let anyone know about it. Then your gift will be given in secret. Your Father knows what is done in secret and will reward you. When you pray, don't be like those show-offs who love to stand up and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. They do this just to look good. I can assure you this is the only reward they'll get. When you pray, go into a room alone and close the door. Pray to your Father in private. He knows what is done in private and will reward you. When you pray, don't talk on and on as people do who don't know God. They think God likes to hear long prayers. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask. You Pharisees and teachers are in for trouble. You're nothing but show-offs. You're like tombs that have been whitewashed. On the outside they are beautiful, but inside they are full of bones and filth. That's what you are like. Outside you look good, but inside you are evil and only pretend to be good.
Today, our sin that we're talking about is vainglory, and I mention ego because vainglory, more than any of the other of the sins, is the disordered thing that happens to ego. That'll become clearer as we talk. There are some really good examples of vainglory in our world. You go to Raley's or any of the other grocery stores and you're checking out and you're looking to your right and your left in the checkout lane, you'll see people, us, special editions of Time Magazine, National Enquirer, the list goes on. And they're vainglory. What they're doing is they're calling attention to us people. I'm not saying that that's always bad, but a lot of times, too many of the times, it is bad. I frequently hear someone being introduced as an influencer. It always kind of takes me back when they talk about that, because it could be a 15-year-old is an influencer. And what they're talking about is how much following they get on TikTok or Facebook or one of the other social media outfits. I also think that an indication of how far vainglory goes into our psyche and into our society is that I've heard interviews with people, and young people particularly, and when asked what their goal in life is, they will say, I want to work for somebody famous or I want to be famous. Sole goal in life. Rebecca DeYoung comments on how high school students at her church, when asked to name a celebrity, can rattle off a list of 20, but the room, she says, gets very quiet when you ask them to name who their heroes are. I think it shows how shallow our world has become or has been. Narcissus was a character in Greek mythology. He was incredibly handsome, according to the story, but he could not find a lover worthy of his beauty, of his handsomeness. And one day he stumbles on this pond and he sees his reflection in the pond, and he's so taken with it that he never leaves the pond and he dies of starvation there at the pond. And so we have the word narcissism as sort of an homage or a reflection of this Greek character. Narcissism is actually in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the American Psychological Association. 1980, it was added as a disorder. I find that to be incredibly interesting, that someone, some collection of people, started taking notice of what they were hearing in counseling offices and said, this is something that we really ought to deal with. that we ought to help people to deal with. Narcissism. This is vainglory. That's what we're talking about today, is what I've been telling you about. It's empty, it's solitary, it's ravenous, because once you fall prey to this, you want more of it. It's almost like a billionaire. A billionaire never has enough money. A narcissist can never get enough attention, enough praise, enough affirmation. They always want more. DeYoung defines vainglory as excessive and disordered desire for recognition and approval from others. Excessive or disordered desire for recognition and approval. William Ian Miles writes that flattery of others is narcotic and addicting, because you never have enough. You will always seek more. It preys on two very desperate and inescapable desires: to be well thought of and to think well of ourselves. When I was at Greenlawn in Lubbock, our society seemed to be on a self-approval kick. I would say that there's a healthy amount of that to be had. However, all sorts of books were being written by it. And my friend Lane said to me one day, she said, "You know, I think these books have got it wrong. It's not self-approval that we need. It's God-approval." I can't argue with Lane. I think she's right. Vainglory is qualitatively different from the desire to glorify God with one's life. It's motivated by different things. It's entirely self-turned. It's entirely concerned about its benefit. One motivation is directed toward the self, the other is directed toward God. What can I do to praise God? What can I do to win God's approval? Because God's approval is pure. It's righteous. One is self-emptying, and the other is self-filling. A good model for this is found in Philippians 2. It's describing the motivation of Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be held on to or grasped, but emptied. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And so, when he celebrated that Last Supper with his disciples, you can imagine them all sitting around the table. Any one of them would have been qualified to be the one that did the foot washing, but no one got up. No one got the bowl. No one got the towel. Jesus did. And I think Peter was embarrassed. "Oh, no, no, you can't wash my feet," he said. That's the model. And so if I return to where I began, which was with ego, what Jesus did is he surrendered his ego to God. He said, "It's yours." This is a difficult proposition. It's a very, very difficult proposition. Because when I come into the world, this ego is all I know. I know when my stomach growls that I'm hungry. I know when I fill my diaper that I need to be changed. These are things I know. They're primal. And really, I think that there are some adults that never get beyond that. They never get beyond the growling in their stomach. You can imagine how these two behaviors I'm describing are opposite in every way. Opposite. one directed entirely to God and the other directed only to myself. I'm really fascinated by people who seem to have no conscious awareness or consideration of the person nearest them. Watch it happen on the bike path, in the grocery store, on BART going into the city. It's like our world is kind of trained to be self-protected bubbles that sort of bounce around from bubble to bubble. Vainglory has offspring. In fact, all of the deadly or capital vices do. But its offspring are arrogance, hubris, vanity, all of those sorts of things come from, flow out of vainglory. The most extreme example of this that I know about, if you want to know what vainglory looks like on the red carpet, go to the Oscars. Watch the people walking in as they preen and strut and pose and vogue for the cameras. As they wear the most extreme thing that they can possibly wear that will get them attention. That's vainglory. The counterpoint to this is Keanu Reeves. I don't know if you followed his life, but here's a man that's incredibly rich. Really wonderful actor. And he's often caught sitting with somebody on a park bench, sharing his food or just talking, hanging out. Very opposite, very different than the red carpet. A beautiful contrast to this is Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount when he called his followers a city set on the hill that cannot be hid. Politicians have tried to rip that off as their own. And they talk about the United States as a city set on a hill, but that's not it. This attention is caused by the admiration of good being done in God's name. That's what Jesus meant. Jesus was saying that whenever you behave like me, you're like a city set on a hill. You're a beacon. You're a light. A pure, true light. It's also done by the degree to which they emulate within themselves the image of Christ. Vainglory is a cheap substitute for the fulfillment that comes from God's glory and for all the attention and praise being given to God. Somebody with vainglory goes, wait, I want the attention on me. I want you to look at me. Final thought. Sometimes vainglory is set in motion by some sort of deficit a person endures at an earlier time in their life. Maybe at one end of the spectrum, it's a child who never wants for anything. Their parents are there to serve them and tells them that they are the greatest thing since sliced bread. And boy, what an awful thing they've done to their child when they do that. On the other end is a child who lives in constant environment of put down and disapproval. They long for love and they don't get it. Vainglory supplies a counterfeit substitute. That person goes seeking for the approval and the love that they didn't receive growing up. Or being forced to live in a work, school, or social environment that places a value on self-acclaim and ladder climbing. And conversely, failed the ones that did not achieve certain standards. Kid in school, a woman in a hostile work environment. These two are places where people's focus can be turned or can be changed because of environment and all those factors. I think that all we've said before is a framework for the disciple of Jesus who wants to promote the opposite behavior. And how do you do this? By sincere and gracious acceptance. By saying, "You're important to us." By asking more about the other than you say about yourself. You ever been part of a group discussion in which the only way that you can say anything is by interrupting somebody? How would that be different if the group fell over each other asking questions? Tell me more about what happened to you or what you were thinking or what's your opinion about this? That would be a novel thing to see a group of people that actually turned their attention to the others. Plus, you may have to accept the fact that they have not learned this way of being yet. You're the one that can teach this because you know what Jesus modeled. You know what it looks like on the ground. You're the one that can teach this and model it. I'm giving you a list. So the first is sincere and gracious appreciation, number one. Number two is by asking more about the other than you say about yourself. Third, by taking inventory of how much you put yourself in the center of things. That can be scary. How much did I talk about myself today? And how much did I seek the interest of others? These are not the whole ball of wax here. They're little symptoms of what may be going on in my life in terms of vainglory. Of course, the great model for this is Philippians 2, Jesus who emptied himself and took the form of a servant. That's 180 degrees from vainglory. Jesus still had an ego, but the ego was not disordered. The ego said, "I want to serve God. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want God's approval." That's the important thing. Let's pray. O God, who places at the center of life a cross, weakness, being last, and submission. You never meant for us to be self-aggrandizing and proud. This is hard, Lord, when everything in our culture says, "Buy L'Oreal because you're worth it." Please help us. Help us to be humble and servants like Jesus did. In His name we pray. Amen.